Hello and welcome to Elevate to Success, discussions on project management and leadership ideas, tips and techniques of being a project manager, agile practitioner, or a leader in your organization. Each week I will have something new for you. I'll have discussions with guests on a number of topics that you can use immediately or stuff that's keeping you up at night. So let's go. Hey, so hi and welcome back to another episode. And joining me once again is Alan Ward. Alan is the CEO of Lattice Consulting in Newport Beach, California. And for those first time to know of Alan, he is an Agile Transformation Consultant, an Agile Coach, and a Certified Safe Framework and Methodologist. He has also provided webinars and one-on-one coaching. Alan has been my guest on many other episodes, so check them out. I'm glad you're able to take some time to chat with me today, Alan. And today, I believe you're going to share what the five key areas in measuring Agile is all about.
Oh, thanks. Pleasure to be back as always, Lloyd.
For sure, Alan. Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to have you on and providing to our listeners some of your experiences and expertise in this area. So in this episode, we're going to touch on the five keys to scaling Agile success, which Alan will share his thoughts in each of these areas. Let me just add that creating and having metric measurements will help you as a scrum master or a project manager or organizational manager in evaluating how well your team is doing, how the program is progressing, and how the art as a whole is performing and the organization as an entity is meeting, you know, their goals and objectives. So, Alan, you have the baton and take it away.
Yeah. So before we get into the five, and I'll get to the five, let's go backwards a little bit and just okay. The first thing we have to ask is why are we doing this? And so when I meet with the C-level people, the CEO, I ask them point blank, you know, what are we trying to solve here? Are we trying to deliver faster? Are we trying to eliminate dependencies? Are we trying to produce higher quality work? And so let's nail down what is our objective, so then we can measure a baseline and then go forward from there. So, you know, the kind of in summary to that point, we ask the question, what is it we're trying to do? Are we moving in the right direction? How well are we moving in that direction? So you should always do a touch base to take these measurements on a regular basis, whether it's once a PI or every other PI. And then we have to ask the question, are there any blockers or hindrances that can impede us from reaching our goals? And perfect example of that is I was 6 months into a transformation at a major corporation, and we were working with a lot of contractors, and all the full-time employees we were training and certifying, but we weren't enforcing a requirement to get trained for the contractors. And we changed that. We went back and we told the major contractors, these were tier one contractor vendor companies, you know, like TCS and IBM and Accenture. And we went and said, hey, in the next 30 days or 90 days, we need all your contractors to get certified in their safe role, whether it's Scrum Master, Safer Teams, Product Owner, whatever. And that I learned is a very critical best practice for success. And so we need to identify those things. And so are there anything getting in the way? Are we relying on too many systems that are out of our control, that another organization in the company or maybe even out of the country is causing us to slow down? So we need to identify those things. That's the first step in fixing them, is to identify them, of course.
Right. Now, could that be done on a sprint level?
Every sprint? I'm more talking about at the organizational level, but a scrum master should be looking at that from inside of his team every sprint. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
And so yeah, I'll tie that together and put a bow on it and later on in our discussion, but very good point.
Okay,
So
fantastic.
that's
So
the thing I wanted to bring up is, before we start talking about metrics, we need to understand that just having metrics has an impact. And that ties back to my training in Scrum. I got trained by Jeff Sutherland, and he talks about his history going way back. He was an Air Force pilot, and he got his college training at West Point. This was before the Air Force Academy was built. And they would have to do marching every day. And his squad would come in last place. They were a bunch of goof ups. And so what Jeff Sutherland did is he would print out a detailed report of the inspections, and he would put it on the wall inside of his company sleeping quarters. He would do nothing else but make it visible, making it transparent. And in a short period of time, they went from last to first. So let's make our metrics transparent to everyone, even in the team, out the team, stakeholders. Everybody should know our dirty laundry so that we can focus on improving. And then,
yeah, I agree with you on that one.
good. So then the next thing is that metrics are context dependent. When one team can produce 30 points and another team is 40 points, and the manager goes and says, "I want you guys to step it up and get to that 40 points," you should never, never compare team to team. It's like you can look at improvement from, this one team goes from 30 points to 40 points, but never comparing team A to team B because, points are relative, number one. And so everything is subjective in that regard. So we need to be very cognizant of trying to compare somebody against some organization, some team, some art against another art. Okay.
Yeah, but isn't it fair to say that a lot of organizations they like to compare team to team, and like to compare points on
They
team to team.
absolutely do, and that's an anti-pattern. That's a bad thing. They should not be doing that. And
Right.
I would point that out immediately and constantly. It's not a good thing. As long as the team is making overall improvement, one sprint might be 30 points, another sprint 35 points, and then the next sprint might be 27 points. So it's you can't expect perfection or improvement every single time, but if you look at the bigger picture of over a PI, that's where you can actually, use those metrics. Okay, so now let's talk about the five. The first one that we want to measure at the art level is value. And so we need to be a little bit specific in that value can be very subjective, it's context specific, and it can be fluid over time. Value can drop off. So like say we have a feature that we want to deliver for a convention. We can deliver it 100%, but a month late, it could be worthless. And so the time value of something can be just as important as what it actually is we're delivering. And so then if we look at value ties directly to the PI objectives if we're doing safe. And so the teams should all have PI objectives. Those can roll up to the art level so that the art has a PI objectives. And then the art is delivering features. The features should be tied to an epic. And if we're doing things really well, these epics should have OKRs, objectives and key results. How are we meeting against those? And do these epics have the epics should definitely have leading indicators? Have they been delivered? And how are they measuring out? So that's a lot of stuff to look at as far as value.
So is that part of also portfolio management?
Absolutely. But at the portfolio management level, we're talking about epics. Has the MVP from this epic been delivered? Yes or no? Okay, it has. Let's take a look at the leading indicators. Let's take a look at the OKRs. Let's see how much the customer likes it, and how has it affected our EPIC hypothesis statement? Has it achieved our goal of increasing revenue or content recognition or something like that?
So it's fair to say that the product managers, the scrum masters, I'm sorry, the product owners and the scrum masters should go up and start working closely together to look at the top level as well, the portfolio, to see that value, like you said, in the epics, and then funneling that down into the arts.
Absolutely. You know, it's like that's a little bit more of an advanced characteristic of a really high performing scrum master product owner. Is like, you know, they're heads down working on stories and delivering features, but have they read the EPIC hypothesis, the leading indicators, the MVP, what's in scope, what's out of scope? A really good scrum master and product owner will have read that, knows it, and keeps the team focused on getting that done.
Okay, so what do we have for number two?
Yeah, delivery. And so when we start talking about team delivery, I developed this thing that I call the iteration report. Where every iteration, I asked my scrum masters to complete a template that had a number of quantitative and qualitative delivery metrics. What was your plan velocity? What was your accepted velocity? Agility, health velocity. What was the value achieved? So it's the ratio of accepted over planned. And so these things that are team level, you can, a really good RTE should be tracking this stuff as well and reporting on it, you know, transparently. And so we talk about, we can throw in number of defects reported, active iteration defects at the end of each iteration, production defects, active defects. And so these are quantitative metrics. And so then you can get into the weeds a little bit more and say, okay, what is a defect? And so is this a production defect or a defect in development in the process of finishing a story? Okay, you know, figure that out. And then as long as you're consistent, you're all good. But that stuff can get rolled up from the team to the art to the organization so that a CIO can sit there and pull up on his computer if you're using an agile tool like Rally or something, and he can see you know, the velocity, the number of defects, and actually look at these quantitative metrics and see if the organization is improving. You can configure Rally depending on your role so that you can have a leadership dashboard or a scrum master dashboard. And so you have to optimize that dashboard for your role. Rally takes a couple guesses, but there's a lot of powerful tools in any of these Agile tools, whether it's Rally, Jira, Azure Boards, which is the new version of TFS, Team Foundation Server. And so the mm-hmm. next thing is time to market. And so we're talking about lead time. From the beginning to the end, how much time does it take to deliver a feature? And so then you can get into the weeds a little bit more than like then say, okay, a 50-point feature, how long is that taking? And so because the quicker we can deliver, the quicker we can get that feedback. And so that goes to the EPIC that has an MVP, minimum viable product, with a capital M, minimum, so that we can get that feedback early so that we can persevere or pivot. So if we're going down the wrong path, we want to know about that as fast as possible. And so taking that to the next level, when we talk about lead time, you know a little bit about value stream mapping, right, Lloyd?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so there's this whole workshop that a good coach will run with his organization, value stream mapping an operational value stream. That's order to cash. But then the development teams that are actually creating the product, the code, they're going to be working under a development value stream. And so we want to value stream map that as well and identify the process time, which is the time where there's actually coding and there's decisions being made and code being rolled up to another environment and then putting into production. That's the process time. But then the lead time is that process time plus the waiting time of the handoff. And so oftentimes the waiting time is massive. So, you know, it might take 8 hours to do some code, and then it has to take 4 days for QA to get to it because they're backed up. And so that's an example of a very low ratio of process time to lead time. And so we want to measure that on a regular basis and see if our ratio is improving. And so it, if it's improving, that means we're wasting less time. And so that's taking agile and using lean engineering. Let's identify wasted time and cut it out wherever we can.
Right. So I want to take a little detour. If you have these Scrum teams that look at the value, and then you have a, say, a third party that's integrating, say, with your development, and they're running waterfall.
Yeah.
How from the measurement of value, I'm guessing would be the same if there's deliverables that needs to be, there's dependencies against a third party that needs to go into the Scrum team.
Yeah. So say I'm a Scrum master, I'm working with a Scrum team, but I'm dependent on another organization, maybe in the company, maybe not in the company, and they're doing waterfall. Well, first of all, they need to have some representation at the PI planning so that they can say, so that the Scrum team can say, okay, so we need you to do your part to finish this story in the second iteration, which is this date and this date. Can you do this? And he'll say, absolutely. I can commit as the representative for this organization. This will get done. And so they can go about doing it in their own little waterfall way, but they have to commit. So they have to what's called play nice. And so as long as they can play nice and make commitments, that's standard business. You say what you're going to do and you make a commitment. It's just with Agile, we make these commitments very small. And so when a Scrum team starts a sprint, they're making a commitment. Literally, I tell them you're committing in blood. And so when you're working with a waterfall organization, they can go deliver it any waterfall way they want. But with regards to these sprint participatory commitments, they need to make them.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan.
Yep. Yeah. That's a, any agile coach who's been around a long time like me has to deal with that. It, you know, organizations rarely transform simultaneously all the organizations within an organization, all the businesses units within an organization. And then you're also working with vendors outside the organization. Another aspect of that is working with vendors and or working with offshore. It they may or may not
right.
be they may or may not be agile. They may or may not be really trained well to do agile, but it's all about breaking down small little pieces and getting that commitment from them for what they got to get done.
Great, great. Okay, so let's get back on the path.
Yep. So we finished the second one. So we had value number one, delivery number two, and the third one is quality. And so once again, there's a quantitative and qualitative aspect to that. And so quantitative could be number and severity of defects. And so hopefully your defects, you're triaging them, you know, level one, level two, level three. And so let's break down those numbers, maybe make some sort of a bubble chart that's showing how many and of what type. And then there's the subjective element of usability and visual appealing. So when we talk about quality, are we producing nice work that is delighting the customer? And so if we do something and we fulfill the obligation of the story, but the customer is not impressed, it's like, that goes to the team as well as the product owner for actually, you know, missing the boat on what the customer wants. but that's poor quality. If the team delivers exactly everything they're supposed to deliver, but the customer is just disgusted with what you produced, then something's wrong, and the team has to be accountable. We have to ask the question, does the customer feel you delivered something high quality? And so that's the qualitative aspect of delivering quality.
Got it.
Yep. And that's where the product owner really needs to lean forward and meet with the customer, or the product manager needs to meet with the customers as the representative for the actual customers, or as the proxy to the customers. Yeah. Next one, satisfaction. And so, is your customer or user satisfied? So we delivered a feature on time, it was 50 points, but then the customer says, I like it how it was before. This is not helping me. And so that's a fail. And so at the organizational level, that's a major fail. Like I always talk about in my training, and never forget when New Coke came out. People were literally rioting over the New Coke. And they got rid of it quick. Like it was gone after a month. And so you can deliver something perfectly to spec, and it can be not good. Happens in the business world, happens in the military. The thing that comes to mind here is this whole F-35 thing that is a constant source of different viewpoints, where some people say the F-35 is a boondoggle. It's very expensive, but some other planes are actually much higher performance that are less costly. And so, is the customer satisfied? That's an important question. And so then that's at the organizational level. And so that answer should be given by the product manager. And so at the delivery team level, we also talk about how happy is the team. And so I remember Jeff Sutherland giving a speech. This was actually after I got trained by him, but he gave a speech another couple of years later that I was in attendance. And he said he really likes the happiness factor of a team. And so a scrum master on a regular basis should be asking his team, are you guys happy with what you're doing? And that you could do a fist of five, where on one, two, three, hold up a number. And so one is, I'm very unhappy right now with what I'm doing, and I wish I was somewhere else. Or five is, I love what I'm doing, I love my work, I'm thrilled with what I'm doing here. And so happy team will deliver good product. Much higher chance that you're going to deliver something good.
That's
Instead of,
true.
yeah, and people are passionate about doing good work rather than collecting a paycheck.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing about making sure that you have customer satisfaction is you want to avoid waste, right? And rework costs. So that could be part of those measurements that will show where the team is at or where the product is going towards.
Yeah, you want to
But
eliminate
yeah.
rework, and so that goes into the quantitative part about number and severity of production defects, development defects. But then say the team delivers exactly what the product owner wrote in the story, and then the customer says, this is crazy, this is not at all what we asked for. And so then it goes back, that's the product owner or product manager who's really responsible for trying to correctly feel the pulse of that customer. And so that's why, of course, every role in Agile is important, but that is why the product owner and product manager roles are so important. We don't have customers that are going to come sit in the scrum meetings every day, so the product owners and product managers need to represent for that customer. Yeah, it actually goes back to an Agile principle. Business works with the development teams on a daily basis. Well, that's your product owner there.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so now we're down to the last one, number five. So one through five, number one is value, number two is delivery, number three is quality, number four is satisfaction, and number five is the risk profile. And so a team and a art and an organization, you need to take some risk, but you don't want to take so much risk that that you have a low possibility of delivering. And so it, if I want to take zero risk, I won't be innovating on anything. And so you need to have some risk, but not too much risk. And so the ways that Agile deals with risk is, first of all, in PI planning, if an objective has been identified as risky for any particular reason, we make it an uncommitted objective so that we're counting it on our PI objectives, but it's uncommitted so that we're not being held against that those points. And so additionally, that item, whether it's tied to a story, it should be tied to a story. It should go on the Rome board, and where that's the risk board where every risk is owned, accepted, mitigated, or resolved, ROAMs, and tracked by the RTE. And so it the RTE should be holding regular meetings. What I advise RTEs to do is in the Scrum of Scrums meeting to bring up the Rome board on a regular basis, whether it's once a week is probably good, so that we can track the progress of those risks. And so you need to take some risk, but not too much risk. And so those are the 5 points that we need to measure. But then going back to team iteration report I talked about here, that's mm-hmm. where we have some, you start out with the quantitative things, and that can roll up to the art level. So planned and accepted velocity, defects, and then you can, of course, you got the burn up, and then you got the burn down, and that can roll up to the art level as well. And then what's our progress on delivery of features? Because as you know, a Scrum team delivers stories, and if they're doing well, they will deliver every single story that they committed to in that sprint. Sometimes they don't finish a story, so then that story has to get split, and so that's not ideal. So that has to be measured as well. Did you finish all your stories? Yes or no? Okay, so at the PI level, arts deliver features. So this particular art started 12 features. Okay, so did they finish all 12 features? And if not, have we done an inspect and adapt to understand why, so that we can do a better job of delivering those features in the next PI? So that we don't overcommit, number one, but number two, we make transparent the reasons why we're not delivering on as committed.
And yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the team iteration report, but RTEs should be making that at the art level too. And there's no reason why that can't be rolled up at an organizational level too. I haven't personally done it, but I would recommend doing it. If I was working with an organization that had several arts and we were implementing the iteration report, I would roll that up all the way up to the top level so that C-level people could be looking at planned and accepted velocity, number of defects, number of features delivered, all these things. So the concept of Agile at the team level is completely applicable at the organizational level. So I'm not sure what else you want
think,
to talk no, about.
I think we covered. Yeah, you're right. I think we covered the five.
Oh, you know what else
is there more?
There was one other thing I wanted to bring up. This new concept in SAFe 5.0, which many people haven't been trained in this yet, but we brought, I got trained in it right away as soon as it came out, beginning of this year. It's called business agility. And so organizations going through a transformation should be doing a business agility assessment. And so then this is a self-assessment where organizations, you know, representatives from the organization will participate in this self-assessment. And so then they rate themselves 1 through 5, where, or 0 through 5, where 0 is nothing and 5 is very high performance. And so you're self-assessing 21 different measurements. And so it talks about, you know, are you releasing on demand? Are you using a delivery pipeline? Are you using an agile portfolio operations organization? Do you have lean business operations? And so this is a self-assessment towards a complete transformation. And so this is available in the Scaled Agile Framework website. You just go to the top right of the big picture where it says Measure and Grow. Click that link and scroll down a little bit. And that self-assessment radar is right there. And I think it's available for download too, so that organizations can assess themselves. And so that should be done at least twice a year.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's icing on the cake there.
Okay. No, that sounds good. I got to check that one out. So that's in SAFe 5.0. That's new to SAFe 5.0.
Yeah. It's accepting feedback and, you know, this and that. They were still teaching classes in 4.6, but we got a preview of it, and that's where they talked about it.
Well, this comes to the end of our episode, and thanks again, Alan, for joining me today and talking about the 5 keys to agile measurements. And I hope to get you back on other topics on SAFe, SAFe methodology framework, and agile transformation. This is Elevate to Success, your host, Lloyd Philip B. with Infinity Bolt. For more information on how we can help you with your project management, coaching, as well as mentoring, you can go to my website at www.infinitybolt.com and send me an email. Please share this podcast and also tell a friend about us. Until then, keep it real.